Thank you for listening to foodsarenotdrugs.com. This is section 2 of 4 of our conversation with Croft Woodruff, and we join that segment in progress. www.foodsarenotdrugs.com.
Well, Tony Clement has said in response to the Georgia Strait article that by Matthew Burroughs on May 8th, he has a response that basically says that they're in favor of natural health products. All they're interested in is making sure that what's in the bottle is on the label so that it's accurate and that it's manufactured under sanitary conditions. He's saying that Bill C-51 does not target natural health products. It also covers drugs, medical devices, cells, tissues, and organs, vaccines, and veterinary drugs. He says that the bill provides crucial updates to the Food and Drug Act, which have not been updated in 50 years.
Well, the Food and Drug Act is ultra-virus anyways. It's a provincial jurisdiction. And secondly, Tony Clements, to my way of thinking, is being hypocritical, because this man had at one time, and as far as I know he still does, have an interest in a pharmaceutical company. So we can see where his interests lie. Not just in the terms of being prone on a bed, but also in terms of prevarication.
Well, the way I see it is, if what his statements are true, that only a small percentage of the natural health product companies are targeted, because they're the ones that are not complying.
Well, the only reason why they're not complying is because Health Canada is holding up how many applications right now they've held up now, and they're bringing this bill down, and the result is that 70% of those companies that are waiting to have their product approved, when it's not approved, it's not in compliance. So what's going on here?
Exactly.
You know, you're caught between a rock and a hard place. In effect, what they're doing is they're putting the cart before the horse.
And if it's not a big deal and they're not targeting the companies, why are they on this massive recruitment drive? And why are they putting $40 million into enforcement to start?
And why aren't they enforcing the regulations as far as the pharmaceutical companies? We just had this Chinese version of heparin have to be taken off the market because it's causing damage. How did it get here in the first place? Aren't the drug companies supposed to be in compliance when they submit these drugs for approval? So who is not doing their homework? And by the way, it was, I think, during the Conservative administration under Mulroney that they shut down the drug labs in Ottawa. So, once again, saving money, but at whose expense?
Well, back to the clinical trial issue again. They want health products to have clinical trials to make health claims and to get the
natural... clinical trials on health claims have been done a long time ago. They've been done by scientists like Dr. Abram Hoffer when he worked... And ran the mental health hospitals in Saskatchewan and proved conclusively that vitamin deficiencies were mainly responsible for mental illness. But all that work has been either ignored because you can't patent a vitamin, or else suppressed, or worse, denigrated with false allegations.
Well, there's all sorts of studies and all sorts of.
I mean, we have the work of scientists like, as they say, Abram Hoffer, Humphrey Osmond. We've got Bernard Rinland, unfortunately, just passed away. We've got the work of Dr. Emmanuel Churaskin and Marshall Wingsdorf of the University of Alabama School of Medicine, or the Department of Oral Medicine, and their work on medical and dental students, no less, showing what a big role that vitamins play in healing and in good health. And I mean, there are many, many others that time does not permit to list here, but all that anybody has to do is start researching the literature. There are over 50,000 clinical reports published in peer-reviewed journals. We're talking refereed journals that establish clearly the beneficial effect of vitamins and minerals, amino acids, and essential fatty acid supplements in maintaining, not only maintaining health, but actually preventing the illness and also restoring health. And all of this is to be ignored and just thrown out. We recently had a meta-analysis reported that was slamming antioxidants as possibly causing cancer. The only trouble is that of the 750 odd studies out of 50,000 that they could have looked at, there was only 67 that they focused on. It's because they wanted a preconceived conclusion. And looking at 9% of what is out there and saying that that antioxidants cause cancer, this is pure baloney, to be polite.
And also, like in terms of clinical trials, we talked about this before, there's never been a clinical trial on the annual flu shot,
no.
Taking a patient from the beginning of the flu season to the end.
No, they have no clinical trials on any of these vaccines. They put them out in the market, and then they depend on the market reaction when they have a garage full of bodies or a hospital full of victims. I mean, this is what's happening right now with the Gardasil vaccine. There's over, at the last count, over 2,000 people and possibly at least 4 deaths and certainly several hundred hospitalizations, and including paralysis enduring for several months. And that's Gardasil vaccine, by the way, which has been manufactured in a major vaccine manufacturing facility along with the Gardasil, they also produce childhood vaccines, has been cited by the United States Food and Drug Administration within the last 60 days as an unsanitary manufacturing facility. And we have a government, the provincial government's approving this vaccine and not even knowing that the vaccines are probably contaminated with God knows what.
And that gets back to the whole argument that
they call this health protection.
Exactly. And Tony Clement is saying that he wants to make sure that the products are manufactured under sanitary conditions.
Oh, really?
Those regulations are...
If he wants to talk about unsanitary conditions, how about hundreds of thousands of chickens under one roof sitting or standing in their own feces, antibiotics, and then they wonder why the birds get sick and they have to kill them all? It's the antibiotics, dodo. Same thing happens, by the way, in the feedlots. You know, they fatten up the cattle before they get to the slaughterhouse. They're standing crowded in these feedlots. They're eating, again, consuming antibiotic-laced food. And they're standing in their own urine and feces. And they wonder why there's a problem with bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics. It's all elementary. And of course, our hospitals are burdened now with these antibiotic-resistant bacteria. I just saw a blurb in the paper today about the flu viruses that are showing up are resistant to treatment. Well, first of all, if you want to treat a viral infection, the first thing you do is induce a fever, because that's how you deal with viral infections. The old saying, you feed a fever and you starve a cold, happens to hold true. You're going to look at a situation where you use antipyretic drugs, such as aspirin and Tamiflu and its copycat Relenza. These drugs suppress a fever, and that's why more than 50% of the people who died, of the 800 or so who died of SARS, they died because they were being treated incorrectly for their fever. They were being treated with Tamiflu or Relenza or aspirin or some other fever-suppressing drug. That's not the way you do it. You keep people well hydrated, you keep them warm, you put an ice pack at the back of their neck to keep their brain cool so they won't have convulsions, and they will survive the fever.
As long as it doesn't get too
hot. It doesn't. That's the whole idea of putting the ice pack behind the neck, is to keep the brain cool, you see. And that's how you do it. And they have, a good doctor would know this. Most doctors have forgotten what they were ever taught about dealing with a fever. Mm-hmm. Viruses cannot replicate at fever temperatures.
So
that's why a body develops a fever. Because if you know virology, and apparently far too many people don't know about virology, viruses can only replicate within the cell. And when in doing so, they steal some of the protein from the cell, and the immune system doesn't recognize the virus as foreign and is ignored. But when you get to a critical mass of viruses in the body, the body senses that, and it turns on a fever, it raises the body temperature, and it stops the infection. By the time you've got a fever, the crisis is actually over. but then if you've got ignorant physicians trying to suppress the fever, then you're going to have trouble. And that's really virus 101, and it seems to be totally forgotten out there.
They've changed in Bill C-51, they're changing the word sell to include single transactions. So, for instance, the vocabulary has changed to include one or more persons, whereas before Bill C-51, it was kind of implied that it would be a commercial venture. One or more persons could mean just a mother giving her child a vitamin product.
Vitamin C, which is a great antiviral factor, by the way. So you give your child a vitamin C to treat a viral infection, and now your mother is practicing medicine without a license, and she's using a product that's not approved for that purpose because some anonymous bureaucrat has so decreed, and she's in trouble.
And what they've also done is they've added the term controlled activity, which seems to be expanding the scope of the act beyond just manufacturing.
Well, this is what happens in a fascist society. The operative phrase is controlled, controlled environment.
Controlled activity, regulated persons, those are
that's
the
That's right. So they're afraid that somebody might find out the truth. Can't have that. I mean, when we have governments lying to launch an unjustified war, where else are they at? When we have governments that actually authorize torture in the name of national security, what can you expect? And Canada is no different in this regard. I mean, look at the way some people were treated. It might sound off topic, but we know now that people have been persecuted because of their religion. We have children that are dragged off to be treated against their will. You have the kids screaming, I don't want this, it's painful, and I'd rather die. And they don't listen, they force it on them. It's just as bad as if we were in a concentration camp.
Well, some people that read this legislation say that, well, they're not going to use these powers.
Famous last words, that's what Hitler said too. And that's what Stalin said. We're not going to use these powers. It's for national security.
It's just nice to have them. It's just nice to have them in case we come across a non-complying company.
Just like our version of the United States Patriot Act, we're not going to use these powers, and yet they've been snooping around. But the funny part of it is, with all their powers, they still can't find out who were responsible for the Air India blast.
Thanks again for listening to foodsarenotdrugs.com. This was section 2 of 4. Of our conversation with Croft Woodruff, and we'll see you soon at section 3, www.foodsarenotdrugs.com.